Our first Bible reading can be found on the back of the green handout, and it's from Psalm 37, verses 21 to 40. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak with what is just. The law of their Lord is in their hearts, their feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, intent on putting them to death. But the Lord will not leave them in the power of the wicked, or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree, but he soon passed away and was no more. Then I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him.
Second reading today is Acts chapter 3, which you can find on the front of the green handout. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple and to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets.
Well, we're continuing again in our series in the book of Acts, looking at the unstoppable gospel, and it really is an exciting book where we see the gospel overcoming any obstacle, but also, just like in our passage today, creating these incredible, remarkable, unexpected opportunities. So let's pray as we ask God to speak to us now. Lord, you've promised that your word goes out from your mouth and will not return to you without accomplishing your purpose. And so as we hear you speak today, fulfill your purpose to transform us into people who love you with all of our hearts, all of our mind, and all of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, have you ever had to beg someone else, whether that be begging for something or particularly, as in our passage, actually be on the street begging? I haven't. And if you're like me, I think this is a real moment to be able to actually thank God and know it's only by God's grace. And so I thought, let's take a couple of minutes just to, in a sense, put ourselves in the disabled man's feet for a moment, to sit with him and spend some time in his body. This is a man that we're told about from the moment of his birth, so from a boy right through to a man, he has never been able to walk. And so day after day, that is his reality. And for so many, many years, it would seem, day after day, he has come to this place to beg. To beg so that he can have enough maybe to contribute or provide what he needs just to be able to live. Day after day, he is carried everywhere. He needs somebody to help him with just about everything in his life. And as I said, as he's carried and placed there and he sits to beg, you know, he's crying out, asking again and again. Some days it's desperate because there's great need. Other times it's just become this mechanical thing, because you've said it so many times, it's hard to muster any enthusiasm for it. This man has never known the weight of his own body on his feet. What he does know is the weight of crushed dreams and the weight of the burden of being carried everywhere by everybody else, the burden on others. But this is why he has come to the temple. It's actually his best place. The best place for him to get the money that he needs. You see, whether it be by godliness or maybe by guilt, he can capture these people on their way into the temple, or church in a sense. But what's really significant for us is, do you notice, he's at the gate. He's kept at the gate. He's kept outside the temple courts. He's not allowed in, because he's broken. And so he begs from the outside. Well, this day begins as bleak as any other, really. He has no expectation of it being any different. But this is the day when his new life begins. That's what we're hearing about today, that life begins with the name we can't live without, Jesus. And so as we spend a couple of minutes now looking at this passage, we're going to see that life begins when we hear the beautiful name, and then we're going to see that life begins when we hear the powerful name, and then we're going to think about God's call to have faith in that name. So, life begins when we hear the most beautiful name. Peter and John, these followers of Jesus, these leading apostles, they're on their way to the temple, which is an interesting thing for us because this is the early stage of the church and they're still observant Jews. So they're going to the temple to pray. It's very early days. Some of you who went to Sunday school as kids will know the song. Maybe as the Bible was read, you started having the tune go round in your head. And maybe, I don't know if you're tempted to do the actions, walking and leaping. Anyway, I must confess, for many years I was very confused as a child. If he can, why is he asking for arms if he can hold out his palms? Clearly his arms work. The legs are the problem. But I worked through that. Okay. We're told that he is placed there and he is begging. And then along comes Peter and John. And he clearly calls out to them, please, you got any money? And then verse 4 we read, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, look at us. That's huge. Nobody looks at the broken beggar. Everybody averts their eyes. But all of a sudden somebody is saying, look at me. And so it's no wonder in verse 5 that he's now expecting something from him. His expectations are going through the roof at this point in time. Their eyes lock. And Peter says to him, silver and gold I do not have. And I can so imagine the man's eyes falling at this point in time and his heart. So, what, you're going to give me lint from your belly button if you've got nothing? Leftover sandwich from lunch? What is it? If you've got no money, what's this about, mate? But Peter's not finished. For what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peter, in a sense, is saying, I'll give you what money cannot buy. And he does. Peter then reaches down and takes him by the hand, not to carry him, but to actually help him up. Instantly, we're told, his feet and his ankles, they are strong. For the very first time in his life, he feels the weight of his body on his own feet. He's standing. He's whole. His whole life, people have carried him, but it has been the beautiful name of Jesus that his life truly begins. This would be like seeing the world in black and white and all of a sudden be able to see it in color. Beautiful, brilliant colors. He has been kept outside of the temple. His whole life he's been so close, but never inside. But now, he just grabs hold of Peter and John. We're kind of told that he just won't let go of them. And he is walking, and he is leaping and jumping and praising God. Several times as I've looked at this passage this way, tears have welled in my eyes at this point. This is incredible for this man. Life begins here for him. It makes us ask the question, what can't you live without? We all know the physical answer. You can't live without water, and air and food. But we know life doesn't just consist in those things. And so we want to probably add significant things like family and friends and health. But it doesn't take long for us to start adding a few less significant things. Can't live without my coffee, my mobile phone, the internet, TV streaming, my social media, my job. Actually, what we're seeing here is we can't live without the one thing silver and gold cannot buy. The one thing we can't live without is the beautiful name of Jesus. Well, God has also made it a powerful name. That's what Peter goes on to explain. You see, as this guy is leaping and jumping around in the temple, it kind of draws some attention, and there's initially a lot of confusion. Hang on, this is the guy that we know. He can't walk. He's been years out there. We've seen him again and again. Some of us have even given him money. And now he is walking? It's not surprising then that a pretty big crowd gathers. Peter, who wasn't intending to preach, he's come to pray, now ends up explaining what's just happened. Just like he did in chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell, he then explained in his sermon what's happening. He's doing that now. In fact, he's at Solomon's Colonnade, which is where we're told in the accounts of Jesus' life, Jesus himself taught on a number of occasions. And so the first thing he does is he says, it's not by our own power or godliness that this has happened. Don't be confused about that. In fact, we already know this. This is the very first miracle in the book of Acts. And it actually might remind you of another miracle of Jesus, one of his early miracles, where he too healed a lame man. They're just missing the hole in the roof when he was lowered down. But the big difference that we're meant to see when we hold the two up is Jesus just looked at the guy and said, come on, mate, get up, pick up your mat and go home. But Peter says, because he needs to, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's as if he's saying, in the authority and the power of Jesus. Not me, of Jesus. Walk. And that's why he immediately points them to God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's looking around at fellow Jews and he's saying, this is our God who did this. This is what our God does. And you know what he's done? He has glorified Jesus. That's right. You remember that guy just a couple of weeks ago? You killed him. You crucified him. You thought he was so powerless. And this is when Peter just keeps dropping the hammer blows. You. Four times in verses 13 to 15, he just lays it upon them. You murdered Jesus and asked for a murderer to go free. You killed the author of life. But God raised him to never die again. Their guilt is clear. But so is God's plan, God's work here. In fact, by God's grace, Peter is able to say to them, you acted in ignorance. But actually, this was God's plan, and it always has been. In fact, our prophets, our messages from old in the New Old Testament, they've been telling us two things again and again. Firstly, verse 18, that the Christ, the Messiah, God's specially appointed king, he was going to suffer. You can go to passages like Isaiah 52 to 53 to read about that. But that's not all. We're also told that he would rule from heaven until the restoration of all things, until the very end of human history. That's Jesus. Yes, he suffered. But he is coming back. And he is ruling everything in between. It's this powerful name that Peter goes on to explain. This is how this healing has happened. And this is a really important part of this passage. I really want to encourage you to have a look at verse 16 right now. If you're doing it on a device, this is a good one to highlight. Because he's explaining to us the real nature of this healing that Jesus has brought about. There's two aspects to it. The first one is physical and the second one is spiritual. The first line is the physical one. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. That's the physical one. That's why this guy is walking and leaping and jumping. And it is truly incredible. But even more amazing, the greater healing, if you like, is the second line. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him. His faith came from Jesus. It was the faith that he needed in order to be healed. Some people could take this to be Peter's talking about his and John's faith, but I think then what you kind of can lead into is Jesus' name just some magic word, you say it and it happens? No. And they wouldn't, you can't force this guy to be healed. Sorry, mate, I know you're after money, but I'm going to do something else for the show. No. What we're seeing here in this moment is he's been given the faith that he needed. The layman was helpless to heal himself physically. But in the same way, he's helpless to have faith in Jesus, but at the name of Jesus, Jesus gives him the faith. It's like a lifesaver rescuing the person who doesn't know they're caught in a rip and going to drown. That's what's happened. At this name, a powerful name, faith has been given to him. So that when Peter held out his hand, he in faith reached out and was instantly healed. And what happens, Peter says here in this last line, is that it's that has given him this complete healing to him. That word complete in our Bibles is the same word that comes up again and again in the Old Testament to do with Old Testament sacrifices. That sacrifices that were to be given to God could not be unblemished. In other words, you couldn't give God your broken, your damaged, your leftover bits. And so what it's saying here is he has been made complete. There's nothing broken about him anymore, not just physically, but spiritually. The faith that's given has led to his full, complete healing before God. That's the powerful name of Jesus. And that's why we ought to pray in the powerful name of Jesus. If you've been a Christian for some time, you've probably said at the end of a prayer, "Oh, in Jesus' name." And there's a number of really important reasons why we do that, but here we're being reminded of one of them. Because of the power of Jesus that we're claiming in that name. We pray in Jesus' name. We can for healing, physically and spiritually, for faith to be given maybe for the first time or to be strengthened. And certainly we can pray for life to begin in people. Again, Jesus' name is not some magic thing that we say and it always happens exactly as we want. The whole point of trusting in the power of this name is that actually we're going to pray this for Jesus' glory. And so whatever happens, what we're saying is, Jesus, you be glorified in the healing, all the faith, all the life. Because Jesus' name is the powerful name. So God is calling us today to have faith in the name. All of us, wherever you're at, to have faith in the name. And so firstly, it's a great message for us today to know this is how life begins. Life begins with Jesus in this way. And if that's something that you don't know yet about or it's new to you, then Peter tells you and I exactly what we're supposed to do about that. Verse 19, he says, repent, which is a fancy word for saying exactly what he does next, turn to God. So instead of having turned our back on God, told him to get stuffed and walked away, he's saying, no, the way life begins is you turn back to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Life begins because Jesus is the one who gives the faith that's needed to walk with him, so that we will trust in Jesus and not live our own way anymore. We turn and walk with him. Life begins with Jesus when he gives the healing that's needed. That man was broken physically, but he also had a broken relationship with God. That's why, in a sense, it's symbolized by the fact that he couldn't get into the temple. But now, he's walking and leaping and praising God because he's restored with God. That broken relationship has been healed. And life begins because Jesus He gives the life of joy and jumping. It doesn't stop after the first day. It's a life of joy for eternity. So I encourage you, if that's a life that today you're feeling you've heard the name of Jesus and you've got to trust in that, you've got faith in that, then be ready to reach out and grab hold of him and talk to somebody about that. Let us know through a connect card. We'd love to connect with you about this. But also, this is a call to faith from God, faith in the name for Jesus' followers. Firstly, it's faith in the beautiful name. We don't make Jesus beautiful. We don't have to make Jesus exciting and relevant to our culture. He's the one who makes it beautiful. Because his name gives healing and faith and life. And that's why, as followers of Jesus, we ought to be jumping with joy. Jumping with joy when we gather together and out in our life. Today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And it's a great reminder of Jesus' death for us, this forgiveness of sins. This is an incredible time to be filled with that joy that ought to lead us to jumping. When the bread and then the juice are passed around, and I say the words that I say, as we take the bread, you probably don't know this, but this is what I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God's grace would feed your souls with whatever you need to walk with him. And then when the juice is drunk, what I'm praying for everyone and over everyone is this, that you would all know the joy of the forgiveness, the washing away of your sins again and again through Jesus' death. So I'll be praying that today. We not only have faith in the beautiful name, we have faith in the powerful name. We can and we should pray with a confidence. This is something that God's actually been kind of putting on my heart and mind for a while, that I need to be bolder in my prayers. After all, Jesus does say, he says, I promise to be there when two or three are gathered in my name. And Jesus himself is one who tells us, pray in my name. Whatever you ask, I will give you. That's a call to be bold. And I hope, like me, you're encouraged to be bolder in my expectations and what I'm asking by praying in the powerful name of Jesus. Having faith in the name of Jesus means speaking his name in everyday talk. I mean, who knows what will happen? No, that lame guy wasn't expecting anything to happen that day, but at the name of Jesus, life began. And so that's something that we need to be doing, just speaking Jesus' name. And I don't mean kind of forcefully, kind of crunching the gears without the clutch, let me say Jesus' name. I'm talking about just talking about Jesus in everyday life. Oh, I'm thankful for Jesus for this. Jesus gave me peace in that. It was great hearing about Jesus yesterday at church. Here's a great encouragement. Over our morning tea, let's talk about Jesus. Not just the weather and sport and this and that, but bring Jesus into those things. Because if we can do it here, and we get practiced at doing it here amongst each other, we'll be able to do it out there. If we're not doing it here, then it's never going to happen out there. So let's speak Jesus' name, but also let's sing it with joy. We've got a great new song that we're going to sing next. And it's got this moment of hallelujah, praise the Lord. So I want to see plenty of jumping. Look, singing with joy is not about being in tune, but it's about having joy in our souls. But if that joy is in our souls, it's going to move us. Heart, mind, and body. And finally, we need to share it. We need to share this name with urgency. Because life begins with the name we can't live without. Jesus. The name more precious than silver or gold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you that life begins with the beautiful and powerful name of Jesus. We pray that Jesus would give to everyone here today that full healing, give us the faith that we need to keep walking with him, and life, that full life as we walk with him forever. We commit to speaking Jesus' name in our everyday life and singing Jesus' name with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.